So far, so good, eh?
Amen.
Amen. Good breakfast, good worship. Praise God. Well, a couple of women said they got hams in the oven, said told me not to beat around the bush today, so we're going to get right after it. Amen. They got family coming. Oh, well. But anyway, we're going to talk today about the subject of the day that death died. The day that death died. See, the body resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it defies logic and it transcends the human experience. And we celebrate the day that death died today because Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. You know, he's defined Christianity as the religion of the open tomb. We know that the body wasn't there, so death could not beat him and the grave could not hold him. Jesus is alive, amen? And that's why we're here today, to celebrate the resurrection Lord. I ran across a story years ago. It's from a magazine called Family Life. And sometimes I found out in life that we know part of the story, but sometimes we don't know the whole story. Have you ever had that happen in your life? I think we have. And what was is this grandfather wanted to talk to his granddaughter about what she knew about the resurrection story of Jesus Christ. So she was there with some of her friends, and he asked them, what does the resurrection send you, the Easter story, mean to you? And one of them said, well, that's when you go to the mall and sit on the big bunny rabbit's lap, and they give you a bunch of candy, and you get an Easter basket. The second one said, no, that's when you get a tree and hang all these eggs on it, and you wake up on Sunday and you find some presents underneath. And the grandpa says, well, that's not really the whole story. And then finally, you know, Julie, what do you believe that Easter is? And Julie said, it's when Jesus Christ was crucified, he died, and his disciples put his body in the grave. They rolled a big stone in front of the opening, and the guards went to sleep, and on the third day there was a big earthquake and the stone was rolled away. Hearing that, the grandpa kind of puffed up with pride. And then she said, that's when, after the earthquake, all the people from town go out and see if Jesus saw his shadow, to see if there's six more weeks of winter. You know, that's what happens. Anybody that works with children, you know what I'm talking about sometimes. Sometimes they get the stories kind of mixed up every now and then. The scripture we're going to look at today is a little bit long passage, but I think we can get through it. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 to 9. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 to 9. And it says, on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus Christ. While they were perplexed at this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them, dazzling clothing. And the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man would be delivered into the hands of sinful men and would be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 who are all at rest. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word today. We thank you that your word has power and can break every yoke of bondage on each of our lives. Lord, I thank you. We have come here today to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen one. We thank you, Lord, that you have defeated death, hell, and the grave. Lord, we want to fall in line with you and follow you. We just don't want to be a believer, but we want to be a follower. Lord, right now I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory, Lord. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation today here in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at a few questions today, and the first one is, what happens when we die? What happens when we die? That's something that every now in life, I think we probably think about that. You know, what happens when someone dies? There's a couple things I want to look at. You know, what is death? We're going to define death a little bit, and then we're going to define what life's all about. You know, death defined is, the earthly meaning is when the physical body stops breathing and the heart stops beating. You know, there is each of us today are only one beat of the heart and one last breath that stands between us and physical death. It can happen at any time. We don't think it will. But yet every now and then we know it does happen. Loved ones die. People we love pass on. Some people die well before their time, at least we think. So all these things kind of come into play as we try to understand the concept of what it is, that how do we fit in this world? How do we fit into the fact that we follow a God that we can't see? So that takes faith. So how do we put all these things together? See, as well as we're just one heartbeat away from death, we're also only one turning from sin and one cry from the heart from eternal life. That's all it takes, is turning from sin, asking Jesus Christ to forgive us, and thanking Him for the blood that washes us and makes us clean. And from that point on, we have eternal life. Eternal life starts the day that we accept Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's important that we make that decision, because, you know, the heavenly meaning of death is spiritual separation from God. And I know I've went over this several times this year, but it's an important thing to really understand the difference between physical death and, spiritual death, and what it means to be separated from God. See, we're born separated from God. As I always say, God has no grandchildren, He only has children. You know, we cannot be assimilated into the kingdom of heaven just because we have a loved one that knows Jesus Christ. It's something that we each have to do. You know, we know that man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. And, you know, basically, when we stop breathing, all that means is that we stop functioning on this earth. We have to have a body to be on this earth, a body that functions. And when our body breaks down, or it breaks, shall we say, it stops to function, but we continue living on somewhere. You know, we're a spirit and a soul. And it's important that we keep those things kind of in perspective as we start to follow Jesus Christ and understand what it is that He wants from us and how we interact with Him and understanding what the life is all about. See, human nature is that most of us get a little over-attached to our body. You know, how many, you know, if you really just check your bank book, you can kind of tell. You know, how much do you spend on nice clothes? How much on cosmetics or things to make you look better? All these things. We try to do all these things to make this shell look better, but sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't work that way. No matter how much you can. You know, what's the old saying? You put lipstick on a pig, what do you got? Still got a pig, right? You know. The only thing that is important is the fact that we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. See, Luke chapter 16, 19 to 26, I encourage you to look some of these up later, write them down. But it talks about how Hades is for the unbeliever. It talked about Old Testament saints when they passed away, that when they would go to be in the lower earth and they was going to be the good saints, they would go to be with Abraham and the rest were in torment. And it talks about that in the Bible, just what would happen when you die. Now, it's different for us as New Testament Christians. We don't have to go to that place. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, it says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I don't know about you, but as a kid growing up, dying used to kind of concern me sometimes. You know, in the sect, what happens when you die? You know, you go up there and we go look at the casket and the person laying there and they look like they're just asleep. And then we just kind of get to wondering, you know, what's really going on here? You know, what happens? I mean, when I grew up, I kind of thought I had to go to be in the grave like 3 days with Jesus. And I'm not claustrophobic per se, but, you know, that didn't sound like a lot of fun to me, be locked in a casket for 3 days underground. You know, it just didn't appeal to me. But not until I became born again and ran across this scripture. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. That is exciting.
Thank you.
That is one of the reasons, you know, that we should follow the Lord Jesus Christ, other than the fact He's God. Amen? So we need to really understand the fact that, you know, some people believe that death is the end of the road, but really, after death is when the journey gets real good. The Bible says what it's like to be in heaven, what it is to, you know, live in a place that God has prepared for us. And see, that's what we need to be ready for. We need to be ready for that life. So now we know what death is a little bit. It's separation from God, and it's important that we understand that. But what is life? John 10:10, I shared that scripture this morning during our offering. You know, a question I ask is, in death, if we never cease to exist, then is life more than existing? Just existing. See, I believe it is. Jesus Christ came to give us abundant life. See, to me, not having to go to hell, that would have been worth the decision. You know what I mean? That would have been worth the ticket, you know, to not have to go to hell and spend eternity in the lake of fire. But Jesus came to give us more. He came to give us abundant life in this life. Amen. And see, abundant life is just not about money. It's about your soul. It's about all your interactions, the things that we do on this earth. You know, God wants us to have a great life. He wants us to have a life with Him, the joy of the Lord being our strength. See, joy doesn't come from the things we possess. Joy comes from God. And as we have all these things, and as we start to walk, you know, in God's revelation, and starting to see the big picture, you know, it's like one of those things when you're a little kid, you got those, you know, paint by dots or whatever. You kind of, you know, come from one to two to three, and you know, and then as you keep filling in the numbers, all of a sudden the picture starts to materialize. Well, as we stay in God's Word and we start to understand the things that God has for us and we pay attention, you know what I'm saying? You just got to pay attention a little bit. All of a sudden, the picture starts to get clearer. As I mentioned today is my 39th Resurrection Sunday. And the fact of the matter is, when I started out, I knew just enough to get saved. And that's all you have to do to get started. But see, as you start to learn more things about God and you start to see how things fit together all the way from Genesis to Revelation, and the plan that God had from the beginning and what he came to do, you know, it just amazes me. Who could have come up with this idea other than God? You look at all the other religions, you know, and primarily their leaders, we know where they're buried. Their tomb is still there and their tomb is still closed. We serve a risen Savior. Our tomb is empty. Now, I'll be honest. If I was going to start a religion, I probably would not have went around telling everybody I was going to raise from the dead, because that could be proven real quick. Right after you died, they could tell if you rose or not. But yet Jesus says, in 3 days, I will rise this temple. So he did it the hard way, amen? He said he's going to rise again. He promised people, he said, I'm going to rise again. He challenged the theologians, if you guys tear down this temple, meaning the physical temple, I will raise it up in 3 days. And their minds just went berserk. Because he didn't understand the concept, because they thought church was a building, but Jesus was trying to tell them that church is a person. Amen. It's when the person of Jesus Christ starts to live inside of his people. That's the church. And see, that's the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and what he wants to come to give for his people. So all these other religions, they played it safe. I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, I like watching some Viking stuff, you know, and they believed in Valhalla and all that. Well, you couldn't prove it. They had to die just to find out if they were right. That's scary. They had to die just to prove they're right. Just like Islam and, you know, Buddhism, all these things, you have to die just to find the truth. But see, Jesus showed us the truth plainly with the open grave. When that tomb was empty, they knew he rose again. He appeared to many people in the next several days and revealed himself to people. No other religion leader could prove that, but Jesus can. And it's true. It's more true than we could ever think in our mind. And the idea that we must be born again, that's the spiritual rebirth, and that's when life, you know, really starts. So really, if death is being separated from God, then true life is not being separated from God. Are we separated from God today? Have we surrendered our life? Those are questions we need to answer. Because a Christian will pass from death to life the second they become the Christian and ask Jesus Christ in their heart. See, abundant life is that life overflowing with the blessings of God, and that's what Jesus Christ has for you today. You know, I don't know, a lot of people waiting for a better deal, I guess. I don't know why people resist it. I don't know why I resisted it. I waited till I was 24 years old before I finally made the plunge, before I finally decided that his life is better than my life. My life was going halfway decent, but there was always something missing. And it was the person of Jesus Christ. Each of us are made with a little hole in our heart that only Jesus Christ can fill. And that is something that we have to find out, and that's something that we have to do ourselves. It can't be something somebody else does for us. To me, the life that was given has given us a life that's worth living. You know, I lived it up before Jesus, but true life never came till I accepted him as my personal Lord and Savior. Starting to walk with him and talk with him and to experience him. You know, it just amazes me, the person of Jesus Christ, and how powerful it is when he comes into our life and starts to turn things around. Oh, we start as a baby, but he doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to continue to grow. So the questions I wanted to get to today is, why is the bodily resurrection so important if the body is just a shell? Plainly, this is just a shell. You know, as you get a little older, you know it pays to keep, you know, anybody who owns a house, you know you need to take care of it, right? If you own a car, you need to put a little oil in it every now and then and check the tires. Well, with our body, if you don't take care of it, you know, when you're young, when you get older, you know, the shell starts to fall apart, doesn't it? Things start to happen in life. You know, and you know, and that's why Jesus chose to do this way. You know, when God the Father had the plan for all creation, we know that man sinned in the Garden of Eden, and God always had a plan to bring man back. You know, He didn't want to give up on us. Most of us would have probably started over. Some of us have little patience for people, don't we? Come on, right? You know, if you told somebody, you know, here's all these trees in the garden, but this one right here, that tree, okay, right there. How many's going to go touch that tree after I tell this sermon today? Don't touch that tree. How many is going to go touch it? Probably quite a few. You know, one thing, but yet they did it. How many's got a kid like that? You know they're going to go up there and touch that tree. That's just the way it is. You tell them no, that means go, you know, right? That's just how it rolls. But see, bodily resurrection is important. Like I mentioned, Jesus did it the hard way. All the other religions, you know, they could, you know, you just had to take it at face value. When you die, oh yeah, when you die, you're going to this great place and it's going to be awesome. You know, all that. Well, you can't, like I say, you can't prove it till you get there. It's just one of those deals, you know. I mean, do you really want to put your trust in something that can't be proven? Well, the resurrection, nobody claims to have found the body. You can find the worst atheist there is, and they still can't deny that the tomb was empty. It's a historical fact. Can't get around it. Some people have made up some workarounds. They believed all that Jesus, you know, I think Islam says one of the things, and they believe Jesus is a prophet. They don't believe God would ever have his son die and he'd rise from the dead. And so they think the swoon theory, I think is what it's called, is where that Jesus went in there, but he pretended to be dead on the cross, and then he put him in there, and then he snuck away. You know, I don't know. That takes more faith than what we got, I think. You know, but the idea is the fact that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. And that he has come to live in our lives today. You know, so what about the body of the resurrection? Before I answer that question, I have a couple more. Like, who rolled the stone away? You know, it's a big, heavy stone. Took several people to move it. It was guarded by the Roman soldiers, like we know. And, you know, Roman soldiers, they would have died than give up their post. They would have been killed for deserting their post. They also put a seal on the stone that was, you know, the priests had to go and beg, you know, the governor to do this, but they wanted a seal on there because if you broke that seal, that was punishable by death. So all these things kind of factor into the story of how this works. And, you know, the disciples, I mean, they were pretty good guys, but I really don't think they could have whipped any Roman soldiers. And the fact of the matter is, most of them scattered. They went in there on Sunday, Palm Sunday, you know, shaking them palm trees and throwing down their coats. Jesus is here, praise God. Right? They had a party. Well, Friday they saw him being scourged. Then Friday they saw him hung on a tree. Then Friday they saw him die. Devastation. So they could not have, I don't believe, formed any sort of group to want to go steal the body. And what would be the benefit? Why would you want to believe in a lie? So the truth is, there was an earthquake. It came from God. And it rolled the stone away. And he put the Roman soldiers to sleep. And Jesus rose from the dead. And that's the power of the gospel. If we do not believe in the resurrection, we don't really have a gospel to preach. We have to believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. On how important it is that we understand that. Because where is the body? No one could find it. Everybody's been looking. People still look. Every now and then somebody comes across and they try to say this and that, but it's not true. Technically, if you really want to find the body, it's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now.
Oh, amen.
Amen. Jesus is the Father's right-hand man, praise God. And that's awesome. He's worthy. He's worthy of praise. So the power of that, and see, even I left this part out of the story, the fact that the priests, they paid the Roman soldiers to lie, to say that, hey, somebody come stole the body. So all these things, can you imagine being a part of a church that tried to hide the truth? I mean, that's what they were, even though they weren't the church, they were the temple, they were the, you know, the Old Testament Jews. But here, God fulfilled prophecy before their eyes. They could not see it. So they paid to keep the mouth shut. That's sick. That's religion, people. Don't be a part of religion. You know, don't be a part of them rules and regulations that have all these things that come in and try to control them. And that's really what the priests were all about. You know, be a part of a movement where Jesus is alive and lives are being changed and we follow the risen Savior because he wants to come and move inside our bodies. What I like in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, it says that Jesus was declared the Son of God by resurrection. It wasn't meaning that he's made the Son of God. He was always the Son of God. But when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, God was making a statement, "This is my Son, the risen one. And we need to follow him." He was declared the Son of God. And that's the power of what God wants to do in your and my life. You know, spiritual, you know, we know that God is a spirit. And like I say, Jesus could have come back another way, but he chose to do the physical body resurrection. See, like I said, spiritual life is claimed by many religions. And we need to make sure that we follow the true and risen God. See, God wanted to make a statement. And that's part of why. When God created us in the Garden of Eden, he formed a body out of dirt. Then he breathed life in. That's the spirit and the soul. Now, redemption. We all would understand, if you use that word and kind of understand what it means to buy back, to purchase back. We know that Jesus purchased our life back and our real life's on the inside, right? This is just a shell. But I want us to know God would not concede one thing to the devil. He came to redeem us spirit, soul, and body, all three. We're going to get that glorified body. So here's how that works. If you die today and you're a Christian, or do you want me to tell you the non-Christian part first? No, I'll tell you the Christian part first. If you're a Christian, you are absent from the body, present with the Lord. That means your spirit and soul would immediately go up to be with God in heaven, waiting for the day when God says, come back, for Jesus to come back, and that's the second coming. That's what we're waiting on. Now, if we're alive here and Jesus comes again, it says the dead in Christ will rise first. They get to come out and they get these glorified bodies. And then if we're still alive, breathing in this body here, then we also will meet him in the air. Powerful time. Don't want to miss that party. You know what I mean? Don't want to miss that deal. You know, but the sad thing is some will. And see, if we really understand, see, hell was not created for us. It was created for the devil. There's really only one sin that's keeping us from heaven. And that's a sin of rejecting the free gift of God of eternal life through Christ Jesus, is when we fail to put our faith and trust totally in him. And see, so when Jesus comes again, you know, that is when he's coming and, you know, there's a lot of things going to happen then. I don't want to go into that today. But, you know, it's worth it. It's worth it to want to be a part of that family. But I know not all Christians are perfect. If we look across this room, we could probably look at somebody, well, you know, that person kind of irritates me sometimes. Has anybody ever had that happen? Somebody they know? Nobody? Okay. Anyway, you know, we have to get over it. You may find this hard to believe, but you probably irritate somebody sometimes. Amen? You know, we're just family. We just got to learn to get past it. You know, how many's went to those family reunions and, you know, you always sit at a table where nobody else, you know, you don't want to sit by, here's somebody sitting all by themselves and there's a reason for that. You know what I'm saying? You know, but yeah, nobody wants to sit by that person. I hope you're not that person. I'm that person sometimes, you know, I know that. But, you know, the idea, you know, is that we need to learn to forgive and to walk in love with each other. See, how it works with God, he wanted us all to be there. He gave us a spirit that is made new. Our soul needs to be transformed. And then we get a body that's going to be raised in glory. As we get into the Word of God, our soul is being transformed, and you know, so that we start to understand and start to walk in the things of God. And that's how important it is to get into the Word of God. See, within 3 days, we had some big things happen in the Christian faith. 3 days, we get two of the great symbols. Number one, we get the cross, and that's so we can deal with the old life of sin. And we all have one. Nobody is born a Christian. You have to be born again. We all have sin and issues in our life that need to be taken to the cross and they need to be put to death. And we need to die to those things. Number two is then we have the empty tomb. And that's to help us to get the new life. Jesus knew that we couldn't do it. So what happens then is when we're born again, he comes to live inside of us. And he helps us to walk in the way that we're supposed to walk in. And it's very simple. You don't have to, you know, it's just like a relationship. You know, granted, we can't see him, and that's all good. But, you know, if you were meeting somebody new here today, and you decided, I want to get to know this person. Well, maybe you would go out to eat together, right? Maybe do something, go bowling or something. Or, you know, some sort of a thing. And you would start to talk with each other, spend some time with each other. And you would get to know that person. And really, that's what it's like to be a Christian, is we get to know him in our life. Me, I need Jesus when I go bowling. You know what I'm saying? We took the youth bowling a while back. You know, I need Jesus when I go bowling. You know, I just ain't got it, you know, anymore. But I never had it to begin with, to be honest with you. But, you know, we need to spend time. It's just spending time with God. Spend time a little bit of prayer. Spend time in his word. You know, come to church, you know, and fellowship with other believers. Sing and raise your hands and just go wild and crazy, amen? Just have as much fun as you can have. You know, I learn more when I'm having fun. Praise God, amen. All right, now, you and I could not get to the tomb unless you go through the cross. That's just the way it works. We have to die to self. You know, a lot of people think, well, I'll just join a church, or I'll do this or that. No, but you have to go through the cross first. You don't stay on the cross. Have you ever seen Christians that stay on the cross? They're down about everything. You know, they're negative. I would be too if I was hanging on a cross all the time, you know. You know, saying, I can't have any fun. No, that's not why. You go through the cross, and you get to the tomb. And that's where the risen life is. You know, sometimes we say that we're a believer of Jesus Christ. But are we a follower of Jesus Christ? That's the next step. You know, a lot of people believed. I believed up until I was saved. But then I became a follower of Jesus Christ, meaning I cared about what he thought. You know, and I asked him what he wanted to do in my life. See, being a Christian is not turning over a new leaf, but being a Christian is to start living in a new tree. And we need to live in the tree of life. That's what he has for you and I. He wants you to experience that life. You know, he's not trying to withhold information from us. God wants to reveal himself to us in a great and mighty way. Well, those are the questions we may ask, but then God has a question. I love it when God has a question. You know, asked the question through the angel. And he talked to the women, and he said, oh, that's another reason why. Religion, mostly in the Bible and other religions, women got second fiddle, right? You know, they didn't really brag on women too much, but here's only women went to the tomb and experienced that first. So that's another sign. No man would have wrote that in the Bible if they were, you know what I'm saying? They wouldn't, that'd have been too much for them. But anyway, what the angels asked, and God was asking it through them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? So my question is, why do we seek life in lifeless things? Why do we seek life in lifeless things? Remember, you know, this is the day that death died, that we celebrate that. And it's important that we understand that concept. But, you know, sometimes we put so much time into chasing after things that don't really matter. And those things that don't really matter start to get in the way. I'm not saying you can't have some fun or some hobbies, but you just can't make life all about hobbies and all about that. You know, it's got to be around the Lord and around the things that he wants to do. We all will spend somewhere for eternity. That's a fact. That's just the way it is. For some, it'll be a life of love and peace with our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and for others who have rejected the gift by not personally accepting the Lord, will be a life of torment due to separation from God. Now, the good news is resurrection life is here today. Amen. No, salvation is only a decision away. One decision. That's all it was for me. I thought about it for a long time. I'm the kind of person, I check things out because I didn't want to do it half-heartedly. You know what I mean? I didn't want to be a Christian that was only one on Sundays. I want to be a Christian every day. So I waited. I went to church a while before I finally decided to surrender my life because I checked them out. I want to make sure if they're for real, it's genuine. You know, because I'd been raised around, you know, growing up as a kid, you kind of watch, you know, Christians that, let's just say they're not Christ-like, right? Has anybody ever had people who proclaim Christ on Sunday, and then on Monday they're stabbing you in the back. You know. So then as a growing up, I said, well, I don't think that's the real thing. So I waited. You know, I prayed to Jesus every night, but never really gave my life to him. But then when I did, everything changed. Everything changed. That's when the light went off in my eye, I guess. I could see. And I encourage you to see that today. Because on Resurrection Sunday is the day that we celebrate, the day that death died. Death has no power anymore. I've done a lot of funerals in my day. And it's easy to, if you look at it in the natural, most people would say death won. But it didn't. Because we know the big picture now. See, we can stand back. If you just go and look at the casket, yeah, well, maybe it looks like death won. But if you look back and see the real picture about the spirit and the soul and how we live forever and the fact that if we surrender our life to Jesus Christ, you know, death did not win. That's just the next step into the next phase. We're all going to go through the next phase. Just depends where we want to go. Amen? So I want to give an opportunity. Let's have every head bow and eye closed today. We believe in a personal decision for Jesus Christ and how important that is. You know, I grew up, went to church a little bit as a kid, but I never really took it serious. I kind of felt like church turned its back on me, so I turned my back on church. And maybe that kind of witnesses with you today. Maybe some things have went off in your life that maybe you've been hurt. Things have happened. Maybe you just don't know for sure if you're a Christian today. But you're not sure if you died today, you would be in heaven with Jesus Christ. I want to give an opportunity, real simple. If you'd like to make that decision today, we'd like to pray with you. Just slip up your hand and put it down if you've never made that decision. Amen. Just put your hand. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm going to lead you in a prayer today. And if you would like to pray this prayer, if you want to make your peace with God, pray this after me. And then you're speaking to God, and we'll just do it that way. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner, separated from you. I want to thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place and raising from the dead. Thank you for your blood that washes me of my sins. I give my life to you. Now you give your life to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I have a book up here I'd like to give you. I'll grab a few before I go out. Just ask me for one today on the way out, okay?